ESPN's Teron Davenport, talking Titans now on Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It is that time of the week. We're joined by our friend Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, host of Talking with TD on our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. TD, good morning. How are we doing?
Hey, good morning. What's going on?
Not a lot, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. So, TD, I think one thing we can all agree on is, as draft season kind of approaches here and we see what moves the Titans have made to this point, is at some point the Titans need to probably heavily consider giving Jeffrey Simmons some help on the defensive line. And we've talked to you about Sweat and what he brings to the table. I've also seen you this week really kind of honing in on Darius Robinson out of Missouri. Specifically with Robinson, what do you like about him, and what do you think the options are going to look like for the Titans if they do want to address defensive tackle at or the defensive line in general at pick number 38?
Yeah, I think when you look at Robinson, the first thing that pops out is versatility. You see him lining up as a 3-4 end, a 4-3 tackle. He lines up for a wide alignment as a stand-up rusher. He does it all, and I think – what's really impressive is just his use of hands. They're very strong and powerful. And you see him, the effort. There was a post where it showed him at 285 pounds run down a running back at Georgia. You know, and I think you look at those types of things, that effort and all of that is great. As far as at 38, it'll be tough to get him there. Sweat is probably a Tavondre Sweat. He's probably a more reasonable option there at 38 if they were to go defensive line. There will be some other options also. It's going to be interesting just seeing how and when the first defensive tackle goes, because I think it's probably going to be Byron Murphy, who coincidentally is Sweat's teammate. And then you got Jerzon Newton. A late option, honestly, Michael Hall Jr. out of Ohio State. He's a really impressive, smaller, like Aaron Donald type. I'm not saying the greatness, but just like that type of a lot of power and a compact body with really good get off.
Stilly thinks you just said he's as good as Aaron Donald. I just want you to know that, TD.
Here we go.
Yeah. Lacking.
What about Sebastian Joseph? Not Sebastian Joseph Day. What about Sebastian Joseph and what he will bring to this team?
Yeah, apparently he wants to be called Sebastian Joseph Day, actually. The Sebastian Joseph, I think, is just on, like, documents and things like that from what I understand from Titans PR. But nevertheless, we know who we're talking about. And I think when you look at him, it's a big body, right? You know, 6'4", 314 or so, 310. And he's just someone that can occupy the middle. Now, a couple of years ago, you talk about Aaron Donald. You know, alongside Aaron Donald, he had a pretty good year. And obviously, you know, a lot of guys would do that. You know what I mean? But then he signed with the Chargers and things didn't go right there. And he ended up with the 49ers towards the end of the year. So I think there's potential there. The good thing is he brings a lot of starts, because before he joined the Titans, their defensive tackle group outside of Jeffrey Simmons had a combined 15 starts. And that was really, really questionable.
TD, on the offensive side of the ball, I mean, Ridley coming in obviously helps with the speed part of this. I mean, with Pollard coming on, year number two coming up off the injury, hopefully he gets stronger with some of his underlying metrics as well. You've got Spears. Where do you think the Titans are with their team speed on the offensive side of the ball, and how much more work do you think needs to be done there?
Yeah, I mean, I think Ridley helps that a lot, and he's someone, he plays fast. He doesn't necessarily – I mean, he was a 4-4 guy, so don't get it twisted. He's not slow. But he's not someone you would look at and just say, oh, he's a burner, but you watch him play, and that dude, he gets off, and his routes are amazing. So I think, you know, you have that. That gives you a good plus. They still do need to get faster. That's why you look at some of these guys. You know, a guy like Anthony Gold, you know, out of Oregon State, is someone I just am fooling around with these mock drafts. I continue to draft him in the sixth or seventh round because he gives you a punt return. That's a 4-3 guy, but you could also put him on the outside. Those types, I think they're going to need to add, just because overall their team speed is still decent, but it's not, you put them on the field and you won't have them just clearly look faster than the other team. So that could still have a ground for improvement.
So, TD, we know that the Titans were close in terms of acquiring L'Jarius Sneed. They make a big spend. I guess you could look at it like instead on Ridley, but do you think that's dead? I mean, things have cooled off. There's some other teams that were in the discussions. I know, you know, it's reported that he wants about $20 million a year, maybe be like the third highest paid corner behind Alexander and Ward. And obviously that's the sticking point is, you know, a team willing to do the long-term deal. Do you think that's dead, or you think it's still possible that the Titans could get back in on him?
I had Matt Verderam on talking with TD this week, and the number is actually 22. He wants to be paid more than any corner in the league. And I wouldn't go there with him. He's a solid corner, a really good player. Don't get it twisted. Love his feistiness. You look at the video where he and Tyreek Hill, they're going at it, and he jammed Tyreek Hill to the ground. And Tyreek was like, wow, you jammed the bleep out of me. And it was pretty cool watching that video. But $22 million is a lot. Right now, from what I understand, the compensation that the Chiefs want is too much for the Titans. And so when you look at where the Titans are in this draft, they have limited picks. I would be surprised if they parted with one of the picks this year, but you never know. Things could change. Right now, it looks like the Chiefs and L'Jarius Sneed are going to end up, unless there's a trade on draft day, it looks like they're going to end up together, and next year they let him walk and they get that comp pick, whatever that may be.
So, TD, Joe Alt has his pro day yesterday. Apparently the Titans not there. Do you view that as the Titans playing chess while everybody else is playing checkers? How do you view that?
That's so funny about the draft, because literally everything that's said is questioned on two sides of the story, and it's really intriguing when you have something like this, okay? I don't know what to make of that. I do believe that Joe Alt is a really good player, and you could have a part say, hey, look, what is there left to see? You got plenty of tape. He had a solid combine. What is there left to see? Do you have that part? Or you could have the other part was like, you know what? I want to have my offensive line coach get their hands on him and feel his power. Remember how Mike Vrabel used to go to these pro days and literally get in the stance and get engaged with these guys physically, and it gave him a good idea of their power and things like that. Now, not every coach does that, but, I mean, there's two ways to look at it, and honestly, I don't know which way to look at that Joe Alt situation. I do know that they may not be as sky high on him as other teams, but that doesn't mean that he's out of the running for pick number 7.
So do you think, because I've kind of gone back and forth, and I swear, what happens, at least for me sometimes, I get into like mock draft world where I start to like think it's reality, you know? And it feels like mock draft world, Joe Alt, there's a gap. People think there's a pretty sizable gap between him and Olu Fashanu. But everything I know about Fashanu, I can make the case to take him over Joe Alt. Where do you come down just on those two?
Yeah, I like Alt a lot better than Fashanu.
Okay.
But that's just me. I think what's so securing about Alt is you almost know for sure this is your guy. He's your left tackle for the next 9 years, right? 9 to 10 years. And that's the comforting part of it. And I believe that he's the most pro-ready prospect in this draft. Now, does that mean there aren't any warts on him? Heck no. He's a waistbender at 6'9". I hate to see him go against pass rushers like Harold Landry. I think that's going to give him trouble at times. But there's so much there with him. Olu Fashanu, you know, when you're looking at him, I think it's more of an upside thing. I mean, he's solid now. Don't get it twisted. But the same things that I saw from Alt as far as like lunging at times and sometimes being out of control and missing the target, I saw that with Fashanu. So I'm not big on Fashanu. And I know that the thing about the 8.5-inch hands is coming out. But, I mean, as long as he can get his hands on the guy first, I don't think that's a huge issue. But that's something else for people to get hung up on. And I feel Ault is the better player.
So, TD, to that point, last thing for you here. I mean, the draft is, in terms of the way things could go here, is pretty interesting. I feel pretty good about three quarterbacks being taken before the Titans. And based on L.A. trading Keenan Allen, it kind of looks like they're trending wide receiver right now. But let me ask you this, though. Let's say that Joe Ault goes off the board before the Titans are there, and they do have him above every other tackle. Would you, at that point, be willing to take, whether it's a Roma Dunze or Malik Nabers or whatever receiver it would be that falls to the Titans at 7? Or would you be intrigued by trading back if there's a legitimate offer for you to trade back at that point, now that you have Calvin Ridley? Would you be more willing to do that rather than take a Dunze or Nabers if they're there?
Well, I'll tell you what, if those guys are there at 7, boy, it's awfully intriguing. It's awfully tempting.
Sure,
you want to rush that card in, and it's like, okay, you want a Benz or a Beamer, right? A Dunze or Neighbor. It depends on, like, what you like, you know. But I think if there's a reasonable offer to trade back, I would entertain it. Brock Bowers is someone that I think would be in play if there's a trade back. But here's the thing, man. The Jets at 10, right? They signed Tyron Smith. I don't know if they don't go for a guy like Brock Bowers. So now you got to look at, okay, how far back can you go? And there's so many options with this draft and every draft. And that's another thing that I just absolutely love about it. I would entertain trading back, though, because you look at a group that includes Talese Fuaga. You look at a group that includes Troy Faletano. Now, granted, there's a bit of a drop-off, you know, from Ault. I don't think it's a huge drop off to where you give up a chance to get a guy like a Chop Robinson, or, you know, a guy like a Keon Coleman, Brian Thomas, like one of those guys that would probably be there in the '20s. You know, if you could get a small drop back from 7 and a second first round pick. So it'd be tough. I would probably entertain trading back, though.
Well, TD, great stuff as always, man. Really appreciate you taking time to be with us. Hope you have a great weekend. And tell us about our friends at ESPN Bet Sportsbook.
Yeah, for sure. Hope you guys have a great weekend also. And a part of a great weekend is taking part in ESPN Bet, which is now live in Tennessee. And it's ready to take you through all the huge sports moments this spring. You got March Madness coming. It's the exclusive sportsbook of ESPN, and it has it all. That includes offers and promotions from Scott Van Pelt and Stephen A. Smith. So from the playoff intensity to getting on the links and out to the ballpark, there's no better time to be a sports fan. As a new user, you get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. You download ESPN Bet today and make a play. You must be 21 or older and in Tennessee. For gambling support, call or text the TN Red Line 889-9789. As always, terms and conditions apply. Go ahead and download that app for details.
We'll have more coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Score big this spring with Lee Company and the Nashville Predators in the 10K Power Play Giveaway. Enter for a chance to win a Kohler home generator or $10,000 towards Lee Company Home Services. That's right, a Kohler home generator or $10,000 towards Lee Company Home Services. All you got to do, go online to leecompany.com/giveaway in order to enter. That's leecompany.com/giveaway in the 10K Power Play Giveaway. Contest entries are accepted until Saturday, April the 20th. Lee Company, all you need. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Appreciate TD for being with us in the last segment. Joe, that first off, that scenario is interesting to think about. Like, if the Titans really love Joe Ault and he's off the board, do you take one of the receivers? Or if there's a reasonable offer to trade back, do you do that? The second part of this, apparently the Titans not at the pro day for Joe Ault yesterday. What do you make of that?
Yeah, that's a really interesting one. Because I'm trying, I mean, I guess, like TD said, you know, you may have all the information, all the film, but I know that these guys, I mean, I'll go back to last year. Like, I went to Ohio State's Pro Day and kind of doing a story on Carthon. And, you know, we talked about like, what's the value of these things? And it's not like it's the first time I've heard it, but it's like a big thing at these things. And Vrabel was there too with Carthon. They were kind of all over the field, but is watching these guys interact with their teammates and just getting a feel for how they are around people and things like that. Just a lot of this stuff. You're not just going there to, you know, let's see that shuttle run, you know, let's, how many times are you going to get that bench up? You know, that's all, that's kind of secondary to the seeing them in their environment, around their teammates, around their coaches, how they treat people. I mean, like, things like that are valued. So I am a little surprised that they wouldn't go to Joe Alt's pro day and just observe him in that way. They value that. I mean, Carthon has said he values that. I think probably everybody in this league does and should value things like that, those little intangibles. Obviously, you can have the visit also to your place, but that's still a job interview where they're talking to your people. It's not getting a feel for, like, what is it? What is this guy like in a locker room, you know, and how does that relate? So, yeah, it's, I would never have guessed that, and I don't know what to make of it. I mean, I guess you could say they're you know, trying to, what, are they trying to throw people off the scent?
That was the first reaction I had.
Maybe.
Like going to somebody's pro day doesn't really mean you're drafting them. I mean,
exactly. Plus, it's like that's a pro day with actually a lot of prospects. So, like,
exactly,
you know, you could be. I mean, they have a few guys that are going to get drafted. I don't know, man. That one's wild. I mean, if you force me to guess what it means, maybe it means they're just not high on him.
Well, maybe they're not. And look, I mean, I can't sit here and tell you if that's the case, whether that would be the right decision or not. I mean, we'll wait and see what happens there. But it would be a case where mock draft season, as we love to call it, and some of the actual way that teams view these players don't quite line up. Now, I will say this, like, if the Titans get to number 7 and Joe Alt's there and they pass on Joe Alt for somebody else and Joe Alt goes on to be Joe Thomas out there, they're going to look like absolute morons if that's the way things go down.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, still he's texting me, you know, Thomas Dimitroff analytics on Joe Alt right now. So he's all in. He's moved on from the film room to PFF boy, but
he's all into PFF. That's for sure.
All the information is, and again, there's misinformation. Then there's, like, you know, people who cover the draft. You get a consensus over and over again from people who aren't even telling you what team, you know what I mean? It's pretty clear. Joe Alt is the most valued and highly regarded tackle prospect in this draft. The consensus opinion doesn't mean he will be an all pro. And maybe if there's somebody that they have identified, I mean, they've got a really good guy in the building to evaluate offensive linemen, then okay, that's fine. But yeah, just not being there and just doing all the due diligence on him is surprising.
Well, I guess it could be the case of, as TD pointed out, like, what more do we need to see from the guy? Like, we've seen all we need to see. There's no point wasting our time going up there. We know how great he is. Like, it could be that, but even that, I would still think you'd want to, like, be around him for a little while. Right. And, yeah, and get your hands on it.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, like, that's where those pro days are valued, is them in their natural environment with their teammates, with their coaches, with the strength coach, with the people who work there. I mean, like, these people get into super intense scrutiny of the personality of these prospects, because they're, you know, people, everybody wants a good locker room. Nobody wants a bad locker room. That's where pro days, I think, are absolutely valued the most. So they know what he is as a player. The film is way more important than whatever he does in any workout, but it's not about the workout.
Titans going J.J. McCarthy at 7. They in quarterbacks. What if they go to J.J. McCarthy's pro day? What happens then?
Of course, J.J. McCarthy's pro day, there's a ton of other prospects. I don't know
if
that's
what
even
if they go?
His pro day.
What if they go?
Well, I mean, then if they go to that, then I'm thinking, okay, so they love, you know, Roman Wilson, or they love Mike Sandra still at the nickel or something like that. But we can have fun with it, though.
We've got a nice competition for you coming in here. You, J.J. McCarthy, and Mason Rudolph. We're loading up with all these quarterbacks.
Wow, what a triple-headed threat that would be, I tell you. it is going to be interesting to see what – I mean, because I don't know all the dates of other pro days for other tackles and stuff, but what ones they do go to if they go to some of the other tackles' pro days.
Caleb on the text line says the obsession with how these guys look in scripted workouts against air is insane to me. John from Clarksville says, how many times do teams draft a player they didn't talk to or view their pro day? It seems like every draft a team selects someone that they showed no interest in. This is from John in Clarksville on the text line. I would hope you've at least talked to them if you're going to draft them in the first round.
I mean, different teams are different. I mean, for John Robinson, there was definitely a correlation between visits and people being picked. What Caleb say, it's not that. It really is like the being around someone as much as possible. Like in Indy, the interviews are more valued by the teams, you know, for example, like that. The film is way better evaluation, especially if you have guys who play at the highest level in college football and play against other guys who are coming into the NFL. That's way more valuable for the what is this person physically as a player. The other things, though, including pro day for sure, are about the intangibles.
Yeah, I mean, look, are there situations that have happened where, especially like in the first round, where maybe a team hasn't spent a ton of time with a player, hasn't interviewed the player because they didn't expect them to be there, and all of a sudden, like they, you know, an Aaron Rodgers style drop, and they just keep falling, and they get to their pick and they have to pick them. Has that happened before? Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it has. But by and large, I mean, you'd like to get, I think, as much time around, like when you're picking number 7 overall, whether it's a Dunze or Neighbors or Alt or Fashnu or Bowers, whoever, like if I'm the Titans, I want as much time around those guys as humanly possible as I'm trying to make the decision that I'm making.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So sometimes you do have that, and it's like the surprise. Sometimes there's some, you know, cloak and dagger to it, I imagine. But to me, like the getting your own information as much as you can is so much more valuable than misinforming some other team. I mean, I would think, at least. I'm sure there's been examples in years past of, you know, a team throwing a curveball and then getting someone that another team thought for sure they didn't want. But I mean, I think the better way to go about your job is, you know, just get all the information you can get for yourself.
Coming up next, it's time for almost said pigskin pick 'em. There's no football being played.
It's
time for weekend winners coming up next. You're not winning weekend winners, so we'll get into that.
True.
Got a lot going on this weekend in the NCAA tournament. The Preds back in action tomorrow. We'll get to all that next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 of the game.
It's time to pick some winners. We hope. Robbie and Rex Road have weekend winners for you now on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It is time for weekend winners here on Robbie and Rex Road. NCAA tournament continuing this weekend. Preds back in action tomorrow at home, taking on the Detroit Red Wings. Patrick Kane and company coming into town. We got a lot to get to on weekend winners. A standings update in the competition. Nick Kieser and myself both going 3-3 last week with our locks. Joe Rexroad, 2-4. No lock for Rexroad last week in the competition, which means the overall standings. Nick Kieser in first place, 13-11 overall, 2-2 on his locks, good for 15 points. Robbie Stanley, 12-12 overall, 2-2 on my locks, 14 points. Joe Rexroad, 11-13 overall, 2-2 on his locks, good for 13 points. A very close competition, as we still remain pretty early in the competition, but Nick Kieser is in first place. With that in mind, we begin with the Nashville Predators hosting the Detroit Red Wings tomorrow at Bridgestone Arena. Nick Kieser, you are in first place, so you pick first. We're going straight up on the puck line here. Preds and Red Wings tomorrow at Bridgestone Arena.
I think this streak lives on, guys. I really do. I think that they will beat the Red Wings tomorrow evening. I will not be there personally, but I do think the Predators take down these pesky Red Wings who are looking for a playoff spot.
Nick Kieser going to check out Joe Rexroad's favorite team, the Milwaukee Admirals. Joe's on mute. First one of the day.
That's what you get, Joe, for not liking them.
It's the first one in a while, and it's unfortunate because I was ready to jump all over my excitement about the ads. Finally, we get to cover a real team around here. Let's do it.
That's right. Look, at some point, the Predators are going to lose, and at some point, we're going to be wrong about this. But, I mean, they've reached the point to me where I think you'd be insane to pick against them. So I'm not going to be insane. I'm not going to pick against them. They're 14-0-2 in their last 16. They win again. I'll go Preds tomorrow against the Red Wings. Joe Rexroad, Preds and Red Wings on the puck line.
Yeah, Preds lock. I mean, at this point, that they're the easy call on a lock. So give me the Preds, make my lock. I can't imagine them losing anymore.
Again, at some point we're going to be wrong, but I mean, you right. got to pick them with the way that things are going right now. Texas and Tennessee, the Rick Barnes Bowl coming up tomorrow in round two of the NCAA tournament. The Vols are favored by 6.5. Joe, this is an interesting one because I think Tennessee is clearly the better team. I think that they played really well yesterday defensively. I do think there's a lot of pressure on them heading into this game, but I'm going to go with Tennessee minus the 6.5. I think it's going to be close throughout, and I think late in the second half, Tennessee pulls away and wins by 8 or 9 in this one. So I'll go Tennessee minus the 6.5 against Texas. Joe Rexrow, the Vols, favored by 6.5 tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, I'm basically the same as that. You know, they have Max Osmus, who, of course, the all-time scoring leader, you know, Laurel Roberts, and now with the Longhorns, he's a special player. You know, Dylan Dessau was big last night. I mean, I think he and Josiah James are going to match up. I think Texas is going to – I think it'll be a closer game than that, but I'm with you. I think some free throws late cover for the Vols.
Nick Heiser, Vols favored by 6.5 against Texas.
Joe, for that late reason there, that's why I'm going to go Texas is going to cover in this one. So I think Tennessee wins this game, but I do think that the Longhorns do cover this matchup.
So Nick going with Texas plus the 6.5 in this matchup. We move to the Vanderbilt women, who are in action today against Baylor. By the way, tune in to 94.9 The Fan as Vanderbilt's women basketball team takes on Baylor today. Pregame at 4:45, tip-off at 5 o'clock. Coverage also available on the 94.9 The Fan app and at 94.9thefan.com. Rex Road, you're up first in this one. Baylor women favored by 7.5 over Vanderbilt.
Yeah, I actually think they have a chance to win this game straight up. And you know, this turns out to be a pretty good draw for Vanderbilt. Of course, they're in a first four game. It's the first NCAA game in 10 years for this program. They get the first NCAA win in 11 years over Columbia. Sorry, Kuharski. But I definitely will take the 7.5 on this one. Baylor's good, but Vanderbilt, I think, is going to make this a really good game.
Nick Heiser, Baylor women favored by 7.5 today against Vanderbilt.
Yeah, it should be a fun one. I would love to see Vanderbilt win. I just don't think they will. So give me the Baylor Bears in this one. What a story it's been for the Vanderbilt women's team this season. I just think it comes to an end later, honestly.
I think it comes to an end too, but I think they cover. Give me Vanderbilt plus the 7.5. Shea Ralph, I think, has done a really good job, and I think probably is not talked about enough, like the turnaround that's gone on there. But I'll take Vanderbilt to cover, but I'll take Baylor to win outright. Vanderbilt plus the 7.5. We move to the individual portion of the program. Joe Rexrode, your first individual selection.
On your last point, I have a nice column on Shea Ralph and that turnaround today at theathletic.com. Thank you very much.
Oh, boy.
Shameless promo. All right, listen.
Did you know Joe writes for The Athletic?
There we go. You know, the SEC had a crappy day yesterday in the men's tournament, but I am going to be bullish on the SEC today. Yale-Auburn, you know, this is one of those games where, just like any of these games, if it can stay close, all of a sudden the pressure mounts. I don't think that's happening. Auburn minus 12.5, I think they blow the doors off. Yale, Ivy League losses all over the place. Take all those L's, Ivy League. Auburn.
They're going Auburn minus the 12.5 against Yale. I'm going to start in the National Hockey League. The Colorado Avalanche are taking on the Columbus Blue Jackets at home tonight. Give me the Avalanche minus 1.5 and make it my lock. I'm locking down. Nathan MacKinnon is unstoppable right now. And I'm going Colorado minus 1.5 against the sorry Columbus team. Nick Keiser, your first individual selection.
I'm going to go with Dusty Mays and the FAU Owls over Northwestern and make that my lock. This afternoon. I like that pick a lot. I think FAU's been a fun story. I think they take down at Northwestern.
What's the line?
3.5.
3.5. FAU minus 3.5 against Northwestern. Keys are locking down on that one. Joe Rexford, your second individual selection.
All right. Sticking with the SEC. Robbie's Gators, as we like to call them now. Hashtag Robbie's Gators. Colorado, Florida. Florida minus 1.5. I think Florida is going to – I think in both cases, Auburn and Florida are going to make Greg Sankey feel good today, and he can say, "Say, Ole Miss should be in this tournament." But give me the Gators minus 1.5.
Nick Kayser, your second individual selection.
It would not be weekend winners if I didn't try to stir the pot a little bit. I think Western Kentucky covers, guys. I really do. This is going to be a fun game. I don't know if anyone else is going to follow suit, but I think Steve Lutz and that group have been special. I think that they cover this one. They lose, but they will cover.
What's the spread?
Never want to say the spread.
It is 14 and a half.
Okay.
This morning, yes.
All right. Just making sure we got that on the record.
I like that pick for the record. I do.
My second pick, give me a New Mexico -2.5 against Clemson. They're going to win by double digits. Double-digit win for New Mexico against Clemson, but I'll go New Mexico -2.5 against the Clemson Tigers. Nick Kayser, your final individual selection.
Yeah, I'm going to go back over to the world of hockey, and in a desperation game for the Washington Capitals, I do not think they'll win, so give me the Hurricanes -1.5 over a Capitals squad trying to make the postseason with a huge goal differential that might be historic if they do make it.
So Hurricanes -1.5 against the Capitals. Joe Rexroad, your final individual selection.
Okay. So Big Ten had a better day in the SEC, but I'm going to go to the Big Ten. I've been saying this all week, and I'm very happy to take JMU and 5.5 points against Wisconsin. I think James Madison is going to win outright. I'll gladly take those 5.5 points. Almost my lock, but I just had to go with the Preds.
So JMU +5.5 against Wisconsin. Selling the Badgers short, Joe. Selling the Badgers short. I got the Badgers rolling today. I'm just saying. We'll see what happens.
You just worry about your Gators.
Yes, I'm really concerned about my Gators today. We'll see what happens on that front. Give me North Carolina -3.5 against our co-executive producer, Tom Izzo, and the Spartans tomorrow. Look, I don't feel great about this pick because I had North Carolina getting upset by Mississippi State, but Mississippi State obviously can't do that now. But I just think North Carolina is the better team. I think they'll end up winning by about 7 in this game, doubling up the spread. So North Carolina -3.5 against Michigan State. And now Sparty Twitter can hate both me and you heading into the weekend.
I'm telling Izzo today, he's probably going to take away all the headphones that have two ears now again. It's obviously him, right? I mean, he's
been known
guilty.
To do it.
Yeah, he's going to be ticked off, man.
So if they win that game, what kind of excitement level we deal with in the Rex Roadhouse?
I know that young Caroline was able to watch the game at school yesterday. They put it on at school. I'm like, wow, they didn't do that for us when I was in school. But yeah, I'd say it would probably be pretty high. Well, I mean, Katie, who has already told me that I never apologize, which is totally untrue, also heard me talking about how I didn't have them on my bracket, and she's like furious with me. I'm like, what? They're not good. They should have lost the game. But yes, the excitement would be high.
Maybe another run of the Final Four for Izzo. We'll see what happens. This has been Weekend Winners. You can check it out every Friday morning at 8:30 here on the program. We'll have our final thoughts on the NCAA tournament and the weekend coming up for the Preds next as well. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by Chuck McDowell and Medical House Calls, Middle Tennessee's best medical care in the comfort and safety of your own home. For more information, go to medicalhousecalls.com. Medical House Calls, where the nearest clinic is your home. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kayser here with you on this Friday morning. Joe, Preds going for, I mean, I guess the continuation of a franchise record tomorrow for point streak to 17 games if they can win and or get a point against the Detroit Red Wings. They were fantastic last night on the road against Florida. They went 3-0. Kevin Lankinen with the shutout, but they had the puck for a lot of the game. They generated some good chances. They played well defensively. And I realized, you know, Florida didn't have Barkov last week. Winnipeg didn't have Shifley, and those are two huge losses. But even with that, the Predators totally dominated those two teams, and they continue to just roll right along. Big win for them last night, and an opportunity against the Red Wings team that's kind of found a little bit of a groove in the last couple of games here for them to continue the streak tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, it should be a great atmosphere. I mean, this city should be really excited about this team, and I think you can sense that. Steve from Franklin calls our producer Nick Schell, which I think I may have to adopt. So I have a question for Nick Schell. Or also New Michelle, someone else has put that out there too. We've seen that one before. But do you know the point streak record for the NHL?
I'm trying to think off the top of my head. I don't.
Wait, why is Nick Schell not answering? Is he not listening again?
He's probably not.
What's he doing?
No, did he leave?
He's left. He forgot the show's not over yet.
Bye, Nick. Well, fun in Milwaukee.
I mean, that's a stat that I would kind of think that he might have, right? If anybody else out
What's
there has.
What's the stat, Joe? Go ahead.
Jeez.
Oh, there he is. What's the who has the NHL record for point streak?
Well, this season it's the Oilers.
I'm talking all time, man. With the Preds, I'm talking all time.
Okay, I'll be fast. Hold on.
79-80 Flyers.
Hey, I'm sorry. We had station business to tend to, and I had to had to talk to him for a second. That's
this
my
program
bad.
Is not over with yet.
The Suits keep ruining the, you know, the talent. Suits messing with the talent. I swear to God, man. 35, did you say that? Did you say 35?
35.
Holy
Philadelphia
cow.
Flyers, the 79-80 Flyers, who went unbeaten 35 consecutive games.
My goodness. That's insane. All right. Well, never mind then.
Losses.
Yeah, it's so. Crazy.
I mean, can they get to 35?
Well, they
take
can't.
This thing
well,
into the playoffs?
Well, that's the thing. So, I mean, I assume that would have to carry over next year, though, right? I mean,
the
playoffs don't count in it. So, yeah, it would have to trickle over to next year. So, okay. Well, they're a bit off then.
We'll be back with you in November when they continue to win.
Yeah. People also on the text on today saying we need to bring back Vibin. What do you think? I think this is beyond Vibin.
I think this has surpassed Vibin. I think Vibin was good, but I think this has surpassed Vibin. So probably a different catchphrase need to be come up with at some point here on the program. Joe, Tennessee impressive last night against St. Peter's. You know, obviously the competition's about to go up here and an interesting test in the Rick Barnes Bowl against Texas coming up tomorrow. But I thought Tennessee dialed in from the jump last night. Played really well defensively, and if they defend really well, I like their chances against Texas tomorrow pretty good.
Yeah, I do too. I do think the key matchup, the obvious matchup, is Max Osmus, and I always trip on his name, but, you know, great player, and Zakai Ziegler. You know, you're talking about that's a heck of a point guard matchup for sure. Tyrese Hunter is a great defender for them. They have length. Like, Texas always has big guys, but they don't have anyone with bulk. And if you don't have someone who can just basically run over Jonas Adu, I like his chance a lot. So I think he's going to have a big game. I think, you know, he needs to pick up from what he did last night. And, I mean, the Dylan Dessou, Josiah James matchup is what I expect at the four. That is going to be a really good matchup on both ends of the floor. And, of course, former rivals, former Vanderbilt Commodore Dylan Dessou.
Is John Calipari getting fired this weekend?
Oh, man. That's a great question. I could see this taking a bit, maybe. And again, I kind of envision some sort of like mutual parting and some sort of a deal on the buyout. And you know what? You go find your new home. No one here likes you anymore. We don't talk anymore. I'm pretending I'm Mitch Barnhart now. So I think maybe this weekend, but you know, maybe it's like next week or a little bit later.
What if they bring him back? Like, if he's the coach next year, the reaction from the Kentucky fan base, what do you think that is?
Well, it won't be good, but here's the thing. When they move on from him, they have like another ridiculous class. And again, like college fan, like Kentucky fans, some of them I think are more recruiting fans. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So they're also be like, oh my God, we lost this class. But right now I know everybody wants him out. So it'll be the reaction will be interesting if it does happen.
Last time I checked, Vanderbilt still got an opening, Joe. I'm just saying. They've got an opening. And if he becomes available, we could have Cal here in Nashville. That'd be fun.
You know, they hired his son. So if that's okay, why would it not be okay to hire him? What an amazing story that would be. And he has a daughter here who's like a doctor, right?
There we go. I mean, setting up perfectly.
I am absolutely here for it. 100%.
Joe, get you some rest. Have yourself a great day at the rest of your time in Charlotte here today and tomorrow.
Will do. Can't wait to reminisce about Rick Barnes at Texas today.
Yes, it's going to be a very fun time. That's going to do it for us this weekend. I hope everybody has a great weekend. Lots of great sports going on. Preds back in action, NCAA tournament. Enjoy it all. We'll be back on Monday morning to discuss it. Chase and Big Joe coming up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3 The Game.